Thank you again for having me among you. It is a blessing to share this Sabbath day with you, both morning and evening. Our sermon passage today will be coming from Psalm 7, so we'll be reading the entire psalm. So if you turn with me now to Psalm 7. Hear now God's holy and infallible word. Today, if you hear his voice, I charge you on the authority of that word, do not harden your hearts. Psalm 7, the Shigeon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamin. O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest a lion, they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of mine enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Over it return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, who you test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. A God is a righteous judge, and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The psalm we are looking at tonight, Psalm 7, is an appeal to God by the psalmist to be delivered from his enemies. This psalm is structured in the legal language of the courtroom. It is important to note this, because some folks will criticize Christians for their speaking of the many aspects of salvation in legal terms rather than in purely loving language. However, the two types of language are inseparable in the Bible. Salvation and deliverance in Scripture, in both the Old and New Testaments, is expressed in both ways. And that is important to keep in mind here, as we consider the psalmist's protests of innocence, which obviously could be seen as confusing in the light of the fall of Adam and the clear teaching of the New Testament that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we need to understand as we approach this psalm is that the psalmist David has both a legal or covenantal relationship with God as well as a personal one. Those chosen by God to be in covenant with him enjoy certain benefits, but also endure the hostility and enmity of the world. The trouble that David appears to be facing in this psalm seems to have arisen from the false accusations of enemies who are not specifically identified, but do not appear to be of God. So what we see in this psalm is not the complaining or demanding of someone who thinks they are perfect, but rather the cry of someone who has taken refuge in God and is truly undergoing trials and persecutions by those who hate God and his people. So as we begin, let us look at how we might outline this psalm. Psalm 7 can be divided into four stanzas. Verses 1 through 2 open the psalm with a prayer for refuge. Verses 3 to 5 is a confession of innocence. Verses 6 through 13 call upon Yahweh to judge. Verses 14 through 17 calls upon the readers, presumably those who are in covenant with God, to witness the judgment of God. And verse 17 praises God's righteousness. And I'll go over those again for those of you that are taking notes. Verses 1 through 2, a prayer for refuge. Verses 3 through 5, confession of innocence. Verses 6 through 13, calls upon Yahweh to judge. Verses 14 through 17, witness the judgment of God. And verse 17, praises God's righteousness. So let's begin now with the psalmist's prayer for refuge in verses 1 through 2. We see, of course, the standard identification of David as the author of the psalm, praying this psalm through song. Now, the Bible makes no mention of Cush the Benjamite, so we do not know who he is. King Saul was a Benjamite, so some have argued that this psalm might have been written when David was being chased and persecuted by Saul. But we do not know that. We also do not know what a Shigeon is. The best we can come up with is that it might be a genre of music, but again, we don't know for sure. What we do know is that David is in a desperate situation. So desperate that he describes it in the imagery of being chased by a ravenous lion who is about to tear him into pieces, and there is no one to save him. So David cries out to Yahweh, my God, save me. This is the cry of a child to their father when something terrible has happened, and they instinctively cry out to their father for help, confident that help will be there, because there is an unquestioned relationship there, something we have noted several times now in this sermon series. They are not calling out to a stranger. They are calling out to their father, who they know will come to the rescue when no one else will. The relationship here between David and God is, of course, not biological, but covenantal. And when one is in covenant with the Creator God, that relationship is even stronger, deeper, and more intimate and sure than a biological relationship. Which is why we can pray, as believers, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. The refuge a child finds in the arms of their human father is at best only temporary, passing, and certainly not perfect. The refuge we can find in God our Father is eternal, permanent, and perfect. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it is on the basis of that covenantal relationship with God that David seeks refuge confidently in God. Moving on now to the second stanza, verses 3 to 5. we encounter words that could be read as self-righteous if they were read superficially and not in light of that covenantal relationship we just discussed, that David and all believers have with God. My dwelling place or home shall be with them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 37, verse 27. But now in the light of that relationship, we see the psalmist protesting his innocence in the face of attacks or false accusations by his enemies. Imagine, if you will, a child being roughed up by bullies in the neighborhood and falsely accused when their father shows up. And the child turns to their father and says, "That is not what happened, Father, at all." A few years ago, I was reading Little House on the Prairie to our family. And in one of the chapters, we read how a new teacher in town falsely accused both Laura and her sister Carrie of doing something wrong when they hadn't. When Pa Ingalls asked them about it, of course, they pleaded with them that they were innocent, and he believed them because he knew and trusted them. He had a special relationship with them as their father. That is the same kind of situation playing out here in this psalm. The psalmist protests his innocence so strongly that he does so in what is called a negative confession of sin. In other words, he says, "Lord, I am so sure that I have not done this, that if it turns out that I am lying, then let my enemies overtake me. Let them grind me into dust, and let me die or be killed and be buried," which is what sleep in the dust means. The psalmist uses this negative confession or imprecatory manner of speech. Imprecatory means the speaker is calling down curses and punishments upon himself if he is lying, as a way of emphasizing his innocence in the strongest words possible, trusting in the sovereign omniscience or all-knowingness of God to know the truth. Put another way, the psalmist is so confident of his innocence that he has no fear to call down curses upon himself if he is found to be lying, which he knows he is not. The psalmist is so sure of this that he turns in a sense towards his enemies here in the third stanza, verses 6 through 13. Imagine, if you will, a courtroom where the defendant has been speaking to the judge about his innocence, but now turns and faces his accusers, pointing at them and says, "Judge them, not me. They deserve to be on trial, not I." The psalmist cries to the Lord to arise in holy anger against the deceits and attacks of his enemies who threaten the covenant child of God. The fear and anguish the psalmist felt at the hands of his enemies are now in the presence of God, turned into a cathartic release of vented emotions. Just as someone who has narrowly missed being killed in an accident or survived a desperate fight for their life, and the adrenaline is now leaving their body, reducing them to an emotional wreck, the psalmist here is experiencing that very same release of emotions as he calls upon the people of God to witness God's sentence of justice, bringing an end to the evil of the wicked and making secure or establishing the righteous. David cries out in relief and triumph that the Lord is his shield, the one who saves him righteously and who will execute judgment upon those who do not repent. God is being seen here not as a judge, but as a warrior who protects his people with the shield and prepares to attack the enemies of his people with the sword and deadly burning arrows, metaphors for inescapable judgment upon the wicked who will be cast into the fires of hell, which will purify and end all the threats and dangers to his people. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul will use the very same imagery of flaming arrows to warn believers of the attacks of the devil and to encourage them to find refuge behind the shield of faith. The emotional cries of the psalmist give way as David contemplates the shield of God and the sure protection that he provides for his children. In almost a confession of God's sovereignty, he calls upon all who hear his words to behold the wicked man in the fourth stanza. David is sure of his vindication in the eyes of the Lord, and he can look calmly now upon the judgment that will surely be executed upon the wicked. For they do not turn in repentance to the Lord as David does, but are marked by an ever-growing cycle of conceiving evil, which gives birth to lies and more sins, which are likened to the digging of a trap or a pit of death, that having dug it, the digger now falls into it himself, his sins falling upon his own head or skull, ultimately leading to his death. This calm vision of judgment being the guaranteed end of the wicked, who are the enemies of God's people, brings with it an end to David's fear of pursuit and persecution. He turns now in praise of God here in stanza 5, proclaiming God's righteousness in exonerating those who have sought refuge in him. He glorifies God not only because the Lord protected his righteous servant, but because God is righteous, perfect goodness and justice, which flows eternally from God's holy character to the endless benefit of those who serve him and are called by his name. As a child, before I knew the gospel, I thought of God only in terms of being a judge, one whom I needed to fear because of my sins. David would certainly have been right to fear God in the same way, for we all know of the sins David committed. But faith in a God who is only a judge is a faith that can only lead to despair. And that is not the God of Scripture, nor is it the Lord who is being praised in this psalm. The Lord is righteous, holy, and just. That is true. But he is also merciful and loving and our sure refuge and comfort, whom David knew instinctively to turn to, as do all believers who know the truth behind the words of Romans 5, that while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. Although God is just, in Christ, he shows us his love, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We, who were enemies of God, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, And like David in verse 17 of this psalm, we too can rejoice in both God's righteousness and his love through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation and found our final and sure refuge and our shield. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we who are the children of the promise can call you Father, and we can now rejoice in the comfort and refuge we have in your arms. Give us now a vision of that day when we shall enter our rest with you and will know no more pain or sorrow or persecution, but will only know the eternal joy of being found in your loving care through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.